Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my good colleague, Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We begin. Bob, what is Artemis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, as many of your listeners who listen to me on your show or read my website, Behind the Black, know, Artemis is NASA's program to get back to the moon, first proposed during the first Trump administration, continued during Biden, and continuing now during Trump. And what I'm going to talk about now is how that Artemis program is supposed to be an American program, and it's competing against China and Russia to get back to the moon. And I can tell you right now that neither NASA, China, or Russia is going to be there first. And I emphasize, neither is NASA. And I have three stories from this week on Behind the Black that illustrate this. First, last week, Sean Duffy, interim NASA administrator, came out saying he's opening up bidding on the lunar lander for the manned program because SpaceX is behind in its program. Well, yesterday, SpaceX did an update on its website outlining how its lunar lander, Starship lunar lander program is going. And it basically said, we're moving very fast. No one else is going to beat us in this. And it outlined all the things it's doing and what it's doing. And it made it very clear along the way that they're going to go to the moon with Starship, whether or not NASA does. That this program is designed in such a way that even if NASA decides to use somebody else, Starship will go to the moon, land, and make money doing it. It has the funding. It's financed through Starlink. It knows it has customers that want to buy the product. And so it's going to go no matter what. So that was the SpaceX story. Then there was an update from Blue Origin. This is, once again, in response to Sean Duffy. They did an update. Some of their officials at a conference gave an update on the status of their manned lunar lander. And they talked about how they're going to do an unmanned lunar lander first to test what they're doing. And I looked at this and I said, my God, this is no way. They're never going to get this done. They're never going to get it done on time. They are way behind. Their lunar lander requires multiple launches, just like SpaceX, but they don't have the rocket ready to do that. They're going to use New Glenn, and it's hardly launched. So they don't have the rocket ready. Now, granted, Super Heavy Starship aren't ready either, but they've launched 11 times and done tests. Blue Origin has hardly done anything with New Glenn at this point. And then in celebration of the launch of three new astronauts to their space station this week, China had a slew of propaganda pieces on its state-run press having to do with its space program, trying to tout how wonderful it is and how great it's doing and how they're going to have a lunar manned landing by 2030 on the moon. And I went through these press releases, and while I absolutely admit China's got a solid program that's rationally designed, unlike NASA's, I noticed based on everything here and what they predicted they were going to do in 2021, that they are significantly behind. That they claimed in 21 that by 2030, they would have a quote, comprehensive establishment of their lunar base by 2030. Well, they're nowhere near that. If they do their Apollo-like landing in 2030, that's going to be like an Apollo landing. They'll go, they'll plant the flag, and they'll come back. There won't be a lunar base there. And so what this told me is they're significantly behind as well in building a lunar base. Meanwhile, Russia had a report on their next manned mission going to ISS. They had to swap out the capsule. The Soyuz capsule they were going to use during normal pre-launch testing, a quote, an inadvertent stray signal triggered the pyrotechnic bolts, which ejected the heat shield. So it was damaged. And so they quickly swapped out their next Soyuz capsule. This is a positive thing. They have an assembly line, so they can do that quickly. But it once again indicates there are serious problems within their program. Their workforce is badly paid. There's been indications of sabotage by that workforce in the past. It could very well have been the case here. The quicker we get out of this our space station partnership with Russia, the better. Anyway, the gist of all these stories is this, that China's maybe going to get to the moon, but they're not going to have a lunar base. NASA might get to the moon, maybe, with its SLS Orion, but the system is kludgy and not very well thought out and has enormous problems technically. And Russia, of course, is not going to go anywhere because they're bankrupt. The only one that has any chance of really establishing a lunar base right now is SpaceX, with its own privately funded space program that's raising billions of dollars through Starlink. And so that's what the takeaway here is. SpaceX is basically letting NASA know and Sean Duffy know that, you know what? We don't really care if you want us or not. We'll still do the work for you. And we still want to do that lunar mission for Artemis. But the bottom line is, we don't need you anymore, and we're going to go on our own. That's what I take away right now, John, and it's really interesting.
Bob, Super Heavy and Starship, is that enough to go to the moon and come back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no right now the program is, the plan is that SLS will launch Orion with the astronauts. Orion will take them to lunar space, lunar orbit. It will meet up with Starship. They'll get into Starship. Starship will take them down and then bring them back to Orion, and Orion will bring them home. This is very kludgy and complicated and more dangerous. SpaceX has already hinted at the that you can simplify the whole problem by getting rid of SLS and Orion. Have them launch on Starship. While they're in space, you refuel Starship, which is the plan anyway, and then you send them to the moon and back in Starship. Remember, Starship is very big, so you can very comfortably live in Starship for months if you need to, once it's completely developed. And so I think that's what they're hinting at, and I think that's where they're going to end up going, SpaceX as a company, whether or not NASA does.
All right, let me build the mission then in my way. Starship is mounted on Super Heavy from Boca Chica. It goes into low Earth orbit. And it refuels with, we presume, a Starship that's been waiting to refuel it.
Or they would launch additional Starships thereafter to refuel one, either before or after.
Right, yes. I understand. Then the Starship that's refueled goes to the moon, lands, stays there, and then takes off again from the moon and comes back to low Earth orbit. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's right. Very simple.
What happens at low Earth orbit? It re-enters?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
it re-enter.
I understand.
It's possible. There's other variations. It could maybe go into orbit for a period of time, but more likely it would just re-enter.
And that can not only beat NASA, that can beat Russia and China. That simple of a system.
Well, yeah, but none of them, NASA and Russia and China, don't have Starship Super Heavy. The only one that has Starship Super Heavy is SpaceX.
Right, so what we have here is that Musk can beat three nations. The U.S., China, and Russia. Musk by himself without any help from NASA whatsoever. Is that correct?
That's what he's telling NASA right now very subtly, that yes, neither NASA can choose to do a simpler system. Either way, he's going to try to build the lunar lander for NASA as his contract requires. But in the end, he can go it alone. And I've pointed this out before. His Starship Super Heavy is, and he pointed this out in the update, is 90% funded by NASA, by SpaceX, by revenues. So they're free to do what they want.
Okay, game on. Let's go. AST Space Mobile, what is it?
All right, AST Space Mobile is a satellite constellation company that's putting up satellites called Bluebirds that would allow your cell phone to use the satellites like a cell tower. SpaceX is doing the same thing with a variation of its Starlink constellation. So these two companies are in direct competition. AST Mobile might be the only company that's successfully competing with SpaceX in this area, at least. It just signed a 10-year deal with Saudi Arabia to use its satellites for cellular service in Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. That means they've beaten SpaceX in this manner. And so, I point out how the rocket companies haven't competed with SpaceX very successfully, and the other internet constellations have not competed very effectively with Starlink. But AST Space Mobile is successfully competing with SpaceX's cellular cell phone to cell tower satellites. And this deal underlines that point.
Voyager Space buys a company called Exeterra. What are they doing?
Exoterra, John. Exoterra. Yes, Voyager Space is the lead company in the consortium building the Starlab space station. But as a company, it's relatively new. And so it has been diversifying what it's been doing. And it's trying to get defense contracts related, actually, to Golden Dome and satellite operations. And so we've purchased a company called Exoterra. Exoterra specializes in building electric propulsion engines for satellites. These are ion engines, essentially, that will move a satellite around. And they've been used on satellites now for decades. But with the CubeSat revolution, these small satellites need these thrusters as well. And so Voyager Space has acquired this company to give it make it a stronger player in the field to get military contracts. It's interesting. It does indicate that the military is a place that a lot of these space companies are going right now.
And we also have a semiconductor manufacturer wants to use SpaceX's Falcon 9 first stage to do what?
This is a really strange idea, and I'm not sure how they're going to do it. But this company, and I think it's called Besxar, I'm not pronouncing that maybe correctly, they make semiconductors. You can make much better semiconductors in weightlessness. So they've signed a contract with SpaceX to put their manufacturing facility, they called it a fab ship, on a first stage of Falcon 9. And so while it does a launch, the Falcon 9 first stage comes up and then it comes right back down. But for a short period of time during this flight, it's in a vacuum that is much better than anything you can produce on Earth. And the company wants to take advantage of that vacuum to produce semiconductors. How they're going to do it in that very short period of time, you're talking about 5 minutes at most, I don't know. But they've signed the contract. They say by the end of this year, in fact, they're going to start launching fab ships on first stages, and they have about 12 they plan to do. So this is just another profit center for SpaceX, John.
That's a brilliant idea, Bob. Brilliant idea.
We'll see if it works.
With zero
innovation,
I could see those platforms that are using the idea of pharmaceuticals developing in low gravity. That would apply to the fabs, too. I recall the episode where there was an earthquake in Taipei, and TSMC, the chip maker that is the Supremo, they had to dump the whole cooking batch because of the earthquake. So without gravity, you are not threatened with the vicissitudes of Mother Earth. It's a brilliant idea. All right, one more. No, we'll go exploring when we come back. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. And I encourage that idea about making chips in space. Wow. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.